you think of sales and you just think of the madness, right? But there's a method to the madness. And,
right.
And, you know, it's not easy, and you're not always going to be right. And you know, you can't anticipate, you can't predict the future always, but, you know, to the extent that you can formally define and document the method, you know, that will go hand in hand with the madness, you know, that's needed to hope things work out in your favor, I suppose.
Well, hey there, and welcome to episode 65 of the Sales Quants podcast, a production of Madison, Michigan and Market. It's still not Harry Stebbings. It is Jeff Herman, and I am thrilled to be here with you today because our sales analytics ninja is back. Mr. Scott Miller is back in the house, and we have an awesome conversation about how to nail your forecast with process, rhythm, and reporting. And it's a great conversation. Scott really has a lot of great perspective to share, and we just jump right in. So I look forward to your comments on this podcast, and we will talk to you at the end of the show.
With sales organizations, they're very focused on hitting that current quarter number. Mm-hmm. And you're not extracting any insights from historical activity, and you're also not looking into the future in terms of what's in your pipeline moving forward, right? So you're very isolated in just focusing on the current quarter number, so you're missing out on seeing the full picture. At the same time, you know, the one big issue is that a lot of times sales organizations, companies in general, right, are just drowning in data. You know, someone might have a question, a concern, they'll email it to someone, hey, we need to figure this out. That person might put a spreadsheet together with all kinds of data, send it out to a person, and it's just a static Excel file that was a dump of data at one point in time. And, you know, that's only a fraction of what you could be looking at in terms of attacking the problem, right? So just this idea of companies drowning in data and people throwing static Excel spreadsheets around, you know, that kind of leads to stale environments where you're not tapping into, where you're not leveraging the data, right? At the end of the day, this data is a tool, right? It's a tool for success that you can leverage, whereas most companies, I think, see the sales data just as a burden. It's just a lot of data. It's overwhelming. What do I need to know? You know, you push it aside almost, right?
So, Scott, do these ad hoc requests break the continuity? So if you're, because really it's all about what's the denominator or setting up the appropriate universe, right, to run the calculation. So what you're saying is if you're always kind of like dipping in and out of different reports without any structure or ongoing continuity, your results could change, right, based upon how it's run each time.
Yeah, there's a heck of a lot of one-offs, and that's what I find to be the exciting piece, right? Plenty of the analysis, plenty of the reporting is recurring, regularly recurring, right? Every week we're doing the forecast, we're pulling the numbers Tuesday at 5 p.m., you know, that's the forecast. We'll email it out Wednesday morning and we'll have the forecast phone call on Friday. Yeah. So a lot of the work is the regularly occurring.
So how important is that regularly occurring schedule? Would you recommend that all sales organizations nail that, you know, data pulled Tuesday night, data sent Wednesday morning?
It's a necessary evil, I think, right? Yeah. A lot of people want to shy away from that type of regularly occurring protocol. Hey, you know, we're salespeople, we're busy, we're on the road, you know, we can't dedicate ourselves to this call. You know what? But you need that discipline, right? Because without that regularly occurring call, you know, the salespeople are just kind of on their own doing their thing, putting things in the forecast, taking them out of the forecast. There's no accountability. So having these regularly occurring weekly calls, hey, you're accountable, Jeff. That was the number you gave last week. What's the story, right?
Right.
So you get some accountability, some responsibility. So
you need a hard cutoff, right? So like literally, you better have your pipeline updated by Tuesday at 5. You know I run it. if it's not updated, it's on you, right?
Exactly. You know, and by all means, you know, these salespeople are on the go. They're out and about. They're traveling. So they're not always just sitting at their computer and 9 to 5, all, you know, 9 to 5 type job where they're just sitting at their computer all day, every day in their office, right? Obviously, that's not their setup. Right. But at the same time, if you know, hey, Tuesdays at 5 o'clock, your data needs to be in the system and it needs to be clean. You know, you can plan around that, right? Whether you do it late Monday night or you do it first thing Tuesday morning, you do it during lunch Tuesday, you sneak out of your meeting while you're logged in, whatever. Just the bottom line is get your data in there so it's clean as of Tuesdays at 5 p.m., for instance, right? So establishing that protocol, establishing that discipline, establishing discipline yields that accountability, right? Because sales leadership, they might not be as hands-on in the day-to-day in terms of across all these deals, but they need to see it from the high level to see where the pain points are, where the risks are, where the opportunities are, right? Hey, Jeff, you know, you have that deal in there for, you know, 150K. If you thought about this product, cross-selling, what have you, Susie from the other group, she worked with that client 2 months ago. Did you call her? And, oh, yeah, you know, we can call her. And they also wanted this product, but they had to get this product installed first so you can get an upsell, a cross-sell. So that's where kind of management being tied in can pull some levers, connect some dots that the sales folks and the first-line managers might not be aware of, right?
So, right. Today I had a guy, we were reviewing his pipeline. He said, well, don't you want to know about this deal? I said, look, I think it looks like it's going well because your average age of this opportunity is 45 days, but your stage duration is 3 days. So you just changed it on Friday. Good for you. It's progressing. Unless you holler, I don't need to know anything, right?
That's assuming that the data is clean and you can trust them and that there's a clean sales process in place so that all the sales reps are on the same page,
right?
In terms of, hey, you updated that duration 3 days ago. Your interpretation of that state, is it the same as all the other sales reps? And if it is, hey, then we're all clean, right? Everyone's got the same perspective on things. But if everyone has a different interpretation of the sales stages, then it's rather chaotic, I'd say.
Right. So then this goes back to this consistency, rhythm, reporting, the consistent review, the consistent probing, the consistent inspection.
Yeah.
You know, I know we publish playbooks and we can publish guidelines and publish the stage and what it takes to progress, you know, the rules, the business rules are on each stage, but really it just has to be reinforced on a consistent basis and the data has to be clean and there to properly represent. And the data tells the truth, right?
Absolutely. Again, the proof is in the pudding, right? So, you know, you can have sales leadership preaching how they want to run their business, right? And people might just, okay, sure, sounds good, right? But until the entire sales organization buys into a formally defined sales process, then your data's, you know, the accuracy of it, the entirety of the data can be questioned, right? So, you know, sales folks probably don't love the idea of being nailed down with a sales process and not memorize it, but just being tuned in to a universal sales process across an entire organization, right? We just want to be out there selling. You know, we don't want to be tuned in. Okay, you want it for a deal to be in the best case category, this has to happen. To upgrade it to the commit category, you also have to have these two conditions. And a lot of times people might want to cut corners. They're busy. They're on the go. So, okay, it's a commit deal. Why is it a commit deal? Have you done this? No, but it's going to close. Okay, well, the sales process says that in order for it to be a commit deal, you need to kind of dot these I's, cross these T's. And if it hasn't been done yet, we got to leave it in that best case category, right? So, you know, that's where, and you know, with forecasting, right? I mean, you're going to miss plenty of deals. You know, you might think the deal's going to close, but it doesn't close. But then you're not going to anticipate some deals that do end up closing. So on a rep by rep basis, hits and misses might be pretty high or pretty low. But the thinking is, when you have a clean sales process across an entire team, across an entire organization, a lot of the hits and the misses across sales reps will kind of cancel each other out. So from a predictive forecasting perspective, right, the variance might be pretty tight because some of the hits and misses will kind of cancel each other out.
Right.
And by having a clean process, you'll be pretty tight in theory.
So then the normalization, I believe that's called normalizing the data, right? So how do you factor out the exceptions, or how do you factor out those edge cases? Do you normalize, does it normalize on the fact that Judy is constantly, you know, not predicting, or is it simply like, what is data normalization? I guess explain that to me.
So from my experience has been, you always want to have a system driven forecast, right? So as we said, at Tuesdays at 5 p.m., we're pulling that data out of the system and we're constructing the forecast. Here's the forecast. We're going to hit 120 million this quarter, whatever your number is. Then there's, you know, the sales reps own that data that they're putting in the CRM. And those first line managers have their weekly reviews with their team, and they're cleaning the data as best they can. And with your upper level sales management, they get kind of the final pass through on the forecast. So, okay, we'll see 120 million, you know, but Susie Jones, she's going to be closing 10 of that 120 million. You know, she's missed, her forecast accuracy has been, you know, 20% historically. So her forecast, we don't trust it, right? So we're going to kind of de-risk it, right? So if it's 120 million and she has 10 million in the forecast, we're going to de-risk her 10 mil. We'll cut it in half so we can de-risk it and add a minus five, just because Susie Jones, we think she's doing some happy forecasting. So it'll take her 10 mil down to 5 mil. So it'll take the 120 total down to that 115 total. So I think the first step is always a system generated, a pure data forecast, right? Export the data, roll it up, here's your forecast number. But then you're always going to have senior leadership scrubbing the data, identifying risks in some deals. And then when you have these weekly forecast calls, you know, a lot of times when people are on the phone, and if you're going to be discussing your deals that you say are in fact going to close, and other people on the call are asking questions and kind of poking holes in that, and they're not so confident in that deal, that's where we can do some risking, et cetera. So you can kind of, that management input to the forecast, you can kind of scrub the numbers up or down, typically down, but sometimes up.
Yeah. So that's a manual process. So when you go through that de-risking process, the first step is clean, pristine data based upon the calculations. And the second step is that manager's oversight that, okay, does that become automated at some point where Judy consistently has missed her forecast, so automatically we whack that number? Or,
well, I'd say not we remember what we had in place last week, right? So if we remember we de-risk Susie's deals by 5 mil last week and nothing has seemingly changed from week to week, we're going to keep that de-risk on there of 5 mil. So that might not be in the system necessarily, but that's where senior leadership needs to work with those first line managers, where I'd say, hey, you know, Joe, Susie, who's your sales rep, she has this deal in for 10 million. Forecast accuracy per our sales analytics ninjas has been pretty iffy. You know, can you work with Susie and get her to adjust that number in the system? So at that point, you know, then Susie very well might go into the system and make an adjustment and see that $10 million, and she might adjust it down to five, or she might push it out of the forecast altogether. So it's almost like the data rolls up from the bottom up. And then once you get some insights, some opinions, and some decision-making from that higher up, from the higher up senior leadership, right, then you kind of push it back down, push the messaging back down, essentially saying, hey, you have this deal in the forecast for 10 mil, you need to adjust that number, or you need to adjust the timing of that deal or the forecast category or the stage of that deal.
So it sounds like if there's a documented process and consistent reporting and there's a consistent flow of information, that the hard part, really, this becomes almost a rhythm, right? This is a rhythm of the business, and the focus can be on the management oversight, the inspection, the report out. And then let's get into that. You know, we were touching on that topic again, the notion of, so you have a consistent rhythm and you have a read on the business and really a good sense of the forecast, you know, almost the ability to predict over time becomes, you know, precise, right? I mean, people get really good at predictions. I mean, there's always weird things that happen, right? But
Of course, right? You're never going to predict 100%. And if you tell me you are, I do not believe you. Yeah. But, right, by having this discipline and building these models and quantitatively coming up with numbers, you'd be surprised at the accuracy of the forecasts, of the predictions. When I was one of the companies I was at, one of our businesses in particular had a forecast variance on a quarter. It was a monthly business, not a quarterly business. It was a monthly business, and the forecast variance typically was about 30%. And that's just a big number, right? So, you know, when finance is making their projections based on your sales numbers and you're off 30%, finance folks are going to shrug their shoulders. And, you know, if you're publicly traded, right, these expectations are set on Wall Street, and if you're missing your sales numbers by 30%, you got a problem. So, you know, one of the models that I built was kind of a quantitatively driven prediction tool where I looked at all of the sales reps. I looked at their forecast data as of the beginning of the month for the last 12 months. And then I looked at what they actually closed in that month over those 12 months, came up with a conversion rate essentially per sales rep, so that, hey, right, we're about to start the month of July. So you, Jeff Herman, you have, you know, $80,000 in your forecast as of July 1st. Due to my, you know, tracking of your conversion rate history, I'm seeing that you close about 50% of what's in your forecast. So that $80,000 of your pipeline, that $80,000, I'm going to put $40,000, being 50%, I'm going to put $40,000 into the actual forecast, into my prediction. So along the way, as I said, we had been having variance of about 30% every month, which was a big number. And through this type of prediction tool that I put in place, the variance was down at about 4 to 5% a month, which is obviously much more tolerable. So right, that was definitely well received, and you know, people didn't want to get to know what the heck I was doing. They just wanted to know what my final number was, right? There's a lot of work involved, but it was just a data-driven prediction tool, prediction methodology that leveraged historical data, reflected on current data, and predicted kind of the future data based on the current data, right? So the month of July, we're looking at July 1st, and we're predicting the future data being what will close as of July 30th. So, you know, there's definitely kind of a method to the madness in that case.
Right. And even that report, it sounds like all of these things have a rhythm, right? And once the setup is there, once the data is in place and the structure's there,
yeah,
there's a nice rhythm to the business.
Yeah, and building that infrastructure, right? I mean, that's building that infrastructure is what people don't always understand, right? As you're saying, getting in that rhythm, right? You can only get in that rhythm when you have a solid foundation, right? When you have that infrastructure that's built very solidly. You know, without that solid foundation, without that infrastructure, you could be flying here, one-offs here, one-offs there. Let's try this. You're flipping a quarter, right? You have no idea what you're doing. You're kind of crossing your fingers. You're poking and praying. But by establishing that rhythm, getting that foundation, having a sales process in place that everyone buys into, lends itself very well to this analytically driven, repeatable process. It lends itself well to that. You know, as you know, obviously in sales, you never know what the heck's going to happen. You might miss a deal. You might lose a deal. You deal you were 99% sure you were going to pull in, you know, the last day of the month. Oh, Jim Smith, the CFO, who was going to sign the contract, he missed his flight. He couldn't fly in. Oh, well, you're not going to close that deal. There's plenty of things out of your control. You know, and I think by having these data-driven tools in place, you're accounting for, you're managing everything that's in your control. Mm-hmm. Boy, stuff is out of your control. Jim misses his flight the last day of the month. You couldn't have predicted that. That's not happening, right? But other factors tied into that particular deal, it's in my control to analyze that. You know, I could do plenty of legwork to see that that deal is going to close before the end of the month. Then that one item that's out of my control, he misses his flight. Oh, well, what can you do, right? That happens. That's why you're never going to be 100% accurate. But at the same time, whereas we missed out on that deal that we thought we were going to get, there's going to be other deals that we didn't think we were going to get that we ended up getting, right?
Right.
Because if you know you're not going to get that deal, you can always make a phone call and accelerate a deal from next month into this month if you give an extra discount or what have you. But that's why having that visibility is huge, because you can kind of pull some levers and strings in order to manage your number. Because if you don't have visibility to everything in your pipeline, you can't really manage your number per se. So if you miss out on that deal, you can always, not always, but you can ideally press a button, pull a string to pull in another deal to compensate for missing out on that one particular deal.
Right. So it sounds like, what would you say, how would you prioritize getting started? If you wanted to get into this rhythm where you're analytically driven, you're predicting your success, you're forecasting within a really tight variance, like what are the best steps to get started?
The first thing that jumps on my mind, right, is formalizing a sales process, right? You, Jeff Herman, me, Scott Miller, right? The two of us, the four other, there's six of us sales reps. And when you enter a deal into your pipeline, Jeff, when I enter a deal into my pipeline, we both have the same perspective on how this deal will go from stage one to stage two to stage three to stage four. So, you know, if I'm flipping a deal from stage two to stage three, and if that action had occurred and you would have flipped it from stage one to stage two, then the data is going to be completely out of whack, right? Because your interpretation of the stages is completely different from mine. So that does the company no good at the end of the day.
Right.
So having a formal sales process in place that everyone is abiding by, that everyone is accountable for, is of enormous importance. And then after that sales process, then it's also kind of that first level sales manager needs to have his or her finger on the pulse of all of his or her sales reps' deals, right? You need to be, the sales rep is on the floor, is on the field, going back and forth, doing their thing, but that first level manager is there to kind of drive that person, make sure things are aligned, make sure I's are dotted, T's are crossed, make sure they're abiding by the formally documented sales process. You know, and then that first level sales manager will help the rep manage the data in the CRM. You know, and then from there, it's a matter of identifying the process by which you want to build your forecast. Is it going to be completely data driven? Is it going to be, you know, people submitting Excel spreadsheets every Tuesday by 5 o'clock, what have you? And then one other kind of piece of the puzzle is this idea of sure, you want a sales process, you want that first level management, you want to define the forecast process, but you also need to have expectations in place. So whether it's a budget, whether it's a quota for each sales rep, whatever, or both for that matter, right? You need to have those expectations in place, those boundaries in place, so that as you're playing in the field of play, you need to know those boundaries around you, where you need to be, where you need to get to, you know, because people are going to perform up to their expectations a lot of the times. They'll hold something in their back pocket. They'll wait for next quarter. There's a lot of gaming involved in it. So if the expectations are clear from day one, in theory, you wouldn't be, you know, you wouldn't be tolerating as much gaming and what have you. So people will want to hit those expectations on a regularly occurring basis, and you don't want it too high, you don't want it too low, but you want it just right, just where the business needs to be. Set those expectations, distribute that out to your folks, and I guess that's part of the sales process, right? Part of the sales process will be that, hey, you need to go through here. Here's the staging, here's the steps, here's our strategies, and this is the number you need to hit at the end of the day. So kind of establishing all that up front certainly helps. So I think those are kind of a few bits and pieces to kind of get started and to establish that framework and put that infrastructure in place.
Right. No, that's great, Scott. Scott, this has been really insightful. Thanks for your time on the show today.
Absolutely. No, glad to be here. Thank you.
Okay.
Hey, it's Jeff, and we're back. Wasn't that interview so much fun? Isn't it great chatting with our friend Scott, the sales analytics ninja? Man, that guy has so much great perspective to share. I loved how he broke it down, right? How do you hit your forecast? It's really a function of process, rhythm, and reporting. And if you have those three things nailed down, you'll certainly lower the variance of your forecast. And that was another great point. The fact that he lowered the variance on a forecast from 30% down to 4% just by instilling that little bit of discipline. So great to hear from him. And I guess the question is, if you are struggling with process, rhythm, and recording, you're in luck. Let us know. That's something that we're very passionate here about on the Sales Quants podcast. So happy to chat with you about nailing down a process, rhythm, and recording. So please visit our website, salesquants.com. And if you want to even look at some of the modules we have in this area, go to the consulting tab on the far right. And you'll see sales analytics and advisory. And on the bottom of that page, which lists all the reports available, there's a contact us form. And we'd be happy to have a quick chat about instilling a more disciplined process and get a rhythm going and get your reporting going just to drive a degree of certainty in your forecast. So thanks again for your time. Hope you had a great time listening to Scott. And of course, we're going to hear from him again because he's our good friend. And look, if you like this episode, please visit iTunes and leave us a rating or review. We would greatly appreciate it. And as always, I hope you think like a marketer and sell like an animal. Cheers.